We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We welcome in the great E.J. Raddick. Does a fine job covering the NHL. E.J., good to talk to you again. How are you?
E.J., how are you?
I'm good. You gave me some information there. I thought the Nets, I don't know much about the NBA anymore, but I thought the Nets were like, had guys coming in off the street to play. Now
that's
you're
correct.
Telling me they're winning.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's
pretty
the
much.
The shocking part of the bubble. The bubble yep. Nets have been surprisingly yep. awesome. So
all right.
Nothing makes
Get
sense
to the money
anymore.
Line.
There you go. You're all over it, E.J.
Oh boy!
How surprised were you that the Rangers get this number one pick? Were you surprised? You had to be surprised by this, right?
Well, I mean, you're surprised. It's one out of eight, right? So now, once they had this kind of crazy setup where, you know, one of these eight teams was going to get the pick. I mean, it's 12.5% for all the eight, right? So everybody had an opportunity. And you know, Joe, you as a longtime Ranger fan probably were more surprised than me because you've seen the heartbreak over the years with these type of circumstances. I remember in 05 when the Rangers had that long run of ineptitude, seven straight years out of the playoffs,
right.
And it looked like they
yes.
were going to have a great opportunity to get the number one pick in the Crosby draft, and I think they ended up at 15 or 16 that
right.
year. So this kind of makes up for it, and there's a terrific player at the top of the board, and they've already got some really good young players there, so it could be just more youthful talent into that rebuild.
So you know, they got the second pick. I just want to say they got second pick last year with Capo.
Yep.
Now they're going to get this kid, whatever his name is, Lafournier, however you say his name.
Lafournier.
Lafournier. He'll be on the line with Panarin and Zibanejad, right? I mean, maybe.
Well, I mean, the funny thing,
they'll
Joe,
all be on their own line.
Wing.
That's what it'll be, right?
But they've got a lot of left wings now because if
right.
they're going to take Lafournier most likely unless something dramatic happens. But he's been the guy that's been on the top of the draft board for 2 years. For this draft class, and he's clearly the best player in this draft class. So, but he's a left wing, and Panarin is a left wing, and Kako is a left wing. So, I mean, you know, it's not ideal, and there's always the possibility that David Quinn could decide to move somebody to another part of the lineup in terms of right wing or center. But, you know, naturally, those guys have been playing those spots for a long time in their lives because that's where they're most comfortable. But these are good problems to have when you have
sure.
really talented players, and, you know, it was great for the Rangers to see that Ranger logo on the ping pong ball.
Oh, yeah. And you
indeed.
Could kind of see it hanging in there even before they made the announcement. You could see that
yes.
blue right there. And you know, if you're a Ranger fan, you're probably thinking, oh, my God, I think we won this, even before it was official. We saw Capo Kako make an impact on this team last year as a teenager. And he was pretty good. And I think the expectations are he's only going to get better. What are reasonable expectations for the Ranger fan right out of the gate? Because the kid is so young. What can you expect year one right out of the gate from Lafreniere?
Well, I think that the biggest thing you could I could tell you is he's a late birthday. So he's an October 11th birthday. So that means that he's had a little bit more time to marinate, so to speak, coming into his actual draft year and coming into the league. So he'll be a little bit older, a little bit stronger, a little bit more seasoned. Now, with where we are now, we don't know when we're going to start up again. The idea is maybe to start up in December, but, you know, really everything is to be determined right now. I mean, they're just trying to get through the playoffs at this point. So there's a little bit more time for this kid. Now, he's already a big kid. He's 6'1". He's about 195. He's been in the limelight up in the Quebec Major Junior League for a while now. He was part of Team Canada's gold medal winner at the World Juniors. Last year he got hurt, actually, in a game, and it would look like a really serious injury against the Russians. He only ended up missing two games, came back 10 points in five games in that tournament. He's been a prolific scorer in the Quebec League. He's a goal scorer, but he's somebody that can make things happen. He's a dynamic kid. So when you ask me that question, what can he do going in? I think he's got a chance to be certainly more productive than Kako just because of all the things I just said. I think he might be someone that could get you 20 goals, maybe 40 assists, depending upon who he's playing with, and maybe there's room for even more there. It really comes down to what the Rangers do with their roster over the next couple of months and how they're going to shape things, because they've got some cap challenges and some people they're going to have to kind of figure out, you know, where they see them in the lineup and what they're going to do with the $8.5 million of Henrik Lundqvist in his final year, whether he would be willing to accept a trade or to perhaps retire. So that will impact what they can do cap-wise moving forward. But this is a terrific player, and like I said, he's got an advantage because of the fact he's a little older. He's already a bigger, stronger kid, whereas Jack Hughes with the Devils last year, a little bit younger coming into it, a kid that needs more time to develop. His brother Quinn had 2 years of college, Quinn Hughes, and has become a star player in this league for Vancouver. I think Jack will go down that same path, but I think that's why we didn't see the tremendous explosion of points from him in year one. He needs more time. This kid is further along.
All right, let's go back to Lundqvist for a second. How do you think this is going to play out? Obviously, Shestarkin is the man now. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. You even have Georgiev there, who's a good, you know, he's a solid guy as well. How does this play? I mean, do you see Lundqvist on the team next year?
No, I don't. I think that they'll have, you know, it'll be up to Hank to decide what he wants to do, but I don't see how it makes sense to have Hank at $8.5 million on the cap as really the third goalie. So I think he had a willingness to move if they could find a suitor. Now, go all the way back to February in the different world that we lived in then, and Carolina and Colorado were the two teams that were thought to have interest for different reasons. And again, from what I hear from different people around Lundqvist, was that he would have been willing to go to either of those places if something would have happened. But for whatever reason, it did not. And then, of course, we had the pause, and we see how things have unfolded since then. But, you know, the Rangers, it's going to be a flat cap moving forward for next year and maybe for a while, depending upon how things unfold with world events. And I just think it would be very difficult for the Rangers in their circumstance right now to have Henrik Lundqvist at $8.5 million against the cap for another year with the other challenges they have moving forward cap-wise. So I just think they'll have to figure that out. But in the end, Henrik Lundqvist is going to have a lot to say with this because, you know, he holds the cards in a lot of ways.
I want to make something clear before I ask this question. This is the system. The Rangers have been hosed before. You brought up the Sidney Crosby draft, so there's nothing bitterness about me asking this question. I'm just curious because this does come up when we talk NBA lottery and sometimes NHL lottery. Is this fair? I mean, the Detroit Red Wings were a god-awful hockey team. The Rangers were in a playoff race. They obviously were in this bubble. Do you like this system that we have where a team as putrid as the Red Wings, not that I feel bad for them, I don't, could not get the generational talent, in fact, go back significantly in the draft, and a team like the Rangers, who were pretty good, I mean, going into the playoffs, I don't think any of us would have been stunned if they went on some kind of run. Here they jump all the way to number one. What do you think about this system that we have and its fairness?
Well, I mean, we're in unique times, right, Evan? So that's the first thing. So it's an unusual circumstance that has come up this year because of the situation we are in. And I think, I mean, the NHL, to me, has done an amazing job getting to where we are right now, to where we're watching Tampa Bay and Columbus right now, late in the third, tied at two. So, I mean, we're in the first official round of the postseason, and they're playing and things are moving forward. They've had to deal with all kinds of unforeseen circumstances, just like all the different sports, just like all different businesses have had to deal with that. So I think they've done an unbelievable job, and they've hit almost everything perfectly, in my view. This was one thing I think if they had a do-over, I think they might have looked back and said, hey, let's just either hold the whole draft, one draft, the lottery draft yesterday, or let's have the separate draft with just those seven teams that were not involved. Now, it is my understanding that that's what they were leaning towards at first. There was pushback from the group of 16 that was going to be in the qualifying round that, hey, we're not absolutely in the playoffs. We should have a shot at this thing. So now you have a pretty good chunk of teams that want to be part of it. The commissioner is kind of dealing with the ownership and management of all the different teams. This was the solution they came up with. In the end, people may not have loved it, but they agreed to it. It played out as they, you know, under the rules that they had, and this is where we're at. So for me, I would have liked to see it done maybe differently, but I think it's a nitpick based on the times that we are in with all the different things that are going on. But to answer your question, no, it's not fair to the Detroit Red Wings who were terrible this year and probably should have a higher pick. Unfortunately, the world we live in now, leagues have to mitigate against the possibility of teams tanking. And they're trying to make it fair and try to make sure that the teams try to stay competitive throughout each and every season. So it's just part of the world we live in now, and it's probably not fair for the Red Wings or for some of the other teams that really struggled. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for anybody because these were the rules as they are right now, and it played out this way, and the Rangers have been on the other side of it as well.
Tony, E.J. Raddick, of course, does a great job with the hockey. Know E.J. for many years, going back to the old days when the Rangers were horrible every year. You mentioned those 8 years. Plenty of nights in the garden those 8 years watching Peter, watching guys like, you know, Peter Nedved, you know, just stink it up.
That was an expensive, bad team.
You know, watching the Bobby Holiks of the world, you know, guys like that, Bruce Driver. Oh, my God. But anyway.
$9 million. I was at $9 million for Bobby.
Whatever. Pavel Bure, right? Pavel Bure, yep, for a while. I mean, we could go, yep, on and on. It was so bad.
There was a lot of guys that came through the red, white, and blue. Between,
oh my God, Brian Trottier, the head coach. How about Trottier, the,
yes,
head coach? Oh,
that was, that's one of those little things, Joe, that fans, like, they don't even think it happened. You'd have to, like,
right,
you'd have to show them the documentation. Because it was such a short window. Brian Trottier, the head coach of the New York Rangers.
Oh, my God. Okay, Islanders, Capitals. Your thoughts, EJ?
Boy, I think it's an interesting series. The Islanders, I think, they've benefited from this break in that they got Adam Pellick back. And he is a really good defenseman for this team. Like, Pellick, Pulak, and Toews are three young defensemen that nationally don't get a lot of play yet. But they will, because they're three really good defensemen. And, you know, Barry Trotz has come in with this system, which has been terrific for them. But he also had some good fortune that he had those three young defensemen that were starting to move into the part of their career where they were ready to take off. And so it's helpful, because you could have a good system, but if you don't have the players, it's hard for that system to be successful. So they got Pellick back. That has been a big plus for them. They were good in the first round against the Florida Panthers. It was really a great matchup for them because the Panthers, they did not play, you know, in a manner that would give the Islanders trouble. They tried to pass the puck from sideboard to sideboard, as they say, east-west in hockey, instead of going north and south. The Islanders like to lock it down in the middle. They make it very difficult if you're just going to try to throw pucks through the middle, which Florida did. Florida's best chance to score on the Islanders was on the power play. They do have a pretty good power play with Mike Hoffman, who could shoot the puck through a wall. So that was when they were dangerous. But the Islanders played to their system, took care of business. Capitals would be a different story, obviously. But the Capitals have some things going on. John Carlson was banged up in that round-robin part of this return to play, so we're not sure what his status is going to be. It's going to be Braden Holtby or bust, pretty much, because Samsonov, the young goaltender that they had and played very well for them during the season, was injured over in Russia during the pause, and he's not part of things right now for them. So I think it's got a chance to be a really good series. Barry Trotz knows that group really well in Washington. He coached them to a Stanley Cup. But, you know, I give the Islanders a little bit of an edge just because I think they might be the hungrier group right now, but the Caps have a very experienced team and could just come down to, you know, Islanders not taking too many penalties, and if they do, find a way to kill them off, because that's the Panthers,
yeah.
Similar to the Capitals. They can kill you on the power play.
That was a killer at times. You know, do you think that, and not just in this Islander series, but throughout, that the team that just played a playoff series has an advantage over a team that went through a round robin. You know, because I wasn't watching a lot of the round robin games. I watched a little bit of the Washington-Boston game just out of curiosity to see who the Islanders would play. But they weren't playing for their livelihoods. They're playing for seeding purposes. Yet here are the Islanders playing this do-or-die best of five. Do you give a team like the Islanders and the others that were just a part of this high-intensity playoff series an edge against these other teams that were really just playing for seeding over the last three games?
Well, I think you probably look at it like you do maybe, you know, in the regular playoffs where teams have had to play really hard down the stretch and they have a little bit of an edge, or a team that just, you know, played a seven-game series, somebody else had won in four, and so they're still playing at a high level or just roll right into the next series. Early on, I think the teams that have been playing in these, you know, kind of, you know, really playoff series, basically, right. I think those teams have an advantage early on. I think as the series progresses, though, the wear and tear that you've taken in that first round series, the bumps and bruises that you've accumulated, well, you know, that could come back to haunt you later in the series. I mean, we're seeing it with Tampa and Columbus. There looks like they're headed to overtime. So Tampa has come out of that round robin and they've been able to match the intensity. It's been a really good game so far. So each case is probably a little bit different, but I would say that, you know, at the start of the series, in all eight of these first-round matchups, I would say the teams that have been playing for something probably have that little edge going into it.
Who do you like here to come out? Who do you like in the finals? I know it's like, look, the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs are the biggest. Like, there is not a bigger playoff crapshoot than that. I mean, let's be honest.
That's correct.
But I mean, well, there's no doubt about it. But I mean, but just, you know, and especially this year, even more. I mean, but who do you like?
Well, you know what? I like the Carolina Hurricanes in the East. The way I've watched it, like, Boston looks like they're in trouble. And, you know, maybe they'll get going in this series against Carolina. But Carolina, I like their four lines. Dougie Hamilton, it looks like, has a chance to play. So that's going to give them another D. They had six pretty good defensemen without them. They're missing Brett Pesce. It doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon. So they're deep on defense. Like I said, I like their group of centers with Aho, Staal, Trocheck, and Geeky through the middle. The question mark is Mrazek, you know, in tight games. Is he going to be able to be the guy for them? Or Reimer, if they have to go in that direction? So that's a big question mark. But I like their group. They were close last year. They got to the conference final. I think they get Boston at the right time in the first round. You know, the winner of Columbus and Tampa, I think, could go on a run as well. I'll take Carolina in the East. And in the West, to me, it kind of comes down to Vegas and Colorado, I think, are the two best teams. And I think I expect that will be the conference final in the West. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of, you know, the hockey is crazy. But, you know, I think I'll give Vegas a little bit of edge there. I think Peter DeBoer has been through this. He's the coach in Vegas now, and they've got two choices in goal that are pretty good, Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury, and Lehner's getting the start tonight in game one against Chicago. So that leaves me with Vegas and Carolina in a final, and, you know, I think maybe Vegas finds a way to win. But, boy, as you mentioned, Joe, it's a crapshoot in the NHL. So
crazy.
Anybody. You know, that's just crazy, off the top. Right. I mean, we've seen what happened already. The Montreal Canadiens are in, and, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins were out. So, you know, I think after watching that unfold, I think anything can happen. Philly's been playing really well. They finished right up into the pause really well. A lot of people felt like, hey, you know, Philly had such a good run. Are they going to be able to find their way? And, boy, they came in and have played really well, and they wrapped up that number one seed for what that's worth. And now they get Carey Price and this kind of excited Montreal team. So Philly's another team to keep an eye on. But, you know, I'll take Carolina and Vegas, and we'll see how it plays out.
Should be very fun to watch. Islanders get it started tomorrow at 3 o'clock. EJ, we appreciate you coming on as always.
EJ, always a
pleasure,
bro. Anytime,
guys. Take care now.
Always. Be well.
EJ Raddick, senior reporter for NHL Network.
Many nights with EJ at the Garden back in the old days. Let me tell you seriously, up in the press box.
Watching a bad Ranger team.
Oh, my God. When I was in the overnights, and like I said, I mean, just in the Rangers with just throwing money, like we said, like the Bobby Holiks, the Bruce Drivers, right. The Pavel. I mean, one of the, you know, Eric Lindros, you know, I mean, like, one of these, you know, big name guys after another that never really panned out with them.
That's why the salary cap and the lockout was the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah, and Yager. And, you know, Yager finally came there, and finally, you know, it clicked with Yager, you know. But, boy, oh, boy, a lot of bad nights with the Rangers. Like nine years without the playoffs, you know.
It was a rough run, but it was a rough run. But the luck is turning two years in a row, jumping to two and now jumping to number one.
Right.
But the regular playoffs are underway. He mentioned it. We got overtime right out of the gate between Columbus and Tampa. And then tomorrow at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's
face
a good tell. So we will be on the air when this goes on.
We'll basically be on the air for the entire game.
Right.
Essentially.
That's right.
The Islanders take on the Capitals in game one of that series.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.